Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you too. It's
Good,
fine.
good.
Actually, would you just allow me to plug my headset? I'll be right back.
Of course, no problem.
About that?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, good. So I have three hands, a computer in front of me. What should I do?
I will send you a link just now.
Skype, please, because it's on my phone, but I'll ask if you
There you go.
Okay.
Okay, so have you got that?
Yep, it's loaded.
Great. Okay, let's have a look at the first mock-up. Now, basically, I'm just going to ask you about these pages, which are proposed designs for the process for creating a derived distro series. This is the second round, so we've already been through this process with three other people, but there are still possibly errors and things that don't make sense. So really, I'm going to ask you very open-ended questions. I'll just ask you if things make sense, if there's anything that confuses you. So let's start off with mock-up one. Could you just have a look through the first half of this page, and tell me if that makes sense to you?
Yes. So the first mock-up or the first half of the mock-up?
First, well, up until the group of post-it notes towards the bottom of the page.
Okay.
Towards the bottom of the mock-up, sorry.
I don't think I understand the first pop-up health overlay, the first bullet point.
The first, a continuation of a distribution within existing series, with right, for example. So what confuses you there?
I'm not exactly sure whether it's like whether we're speaking of like an overlay on top of Ubuntu, or whether it's like additional packages or a filtered view of Ubuntu.
Right, okay. I can't answer your questions right now, but because obviously I won't be there to help anyone when they're using it. So what I will do is I'll note that as something that's not clear, and then I'll give that back to the Soyuz developers and ask them to clarify that.
I'm a bit of a control freak, so my logical reaction would be to try to understand how these things would be mapped to a release files, but I don't think it should influence the mockups, but I would be interested in having slide documentation in case I want to check how the release file is going to look like. So what's going to be for a code name and a shoot and stuff like that, like relating to Debian concepts. I think it's a good abstraction of the concept, like you request the data in a human readable way, and anybody could be using that and start their own derivative. Some advanced people might be interested in mapping that to the technical bits which are behind that, and I guess would probably be documenting them in a wiki page or something like that. But I think it's a good abstraction. I mean, I'm happy with the questions, and they are clear.
Okay.
So for the first half, it's quite clear, except one of the two use cases not very clear to me, but pop up at the top.
Okay, cool. When it comes to the second part of the page, so where you get to specify the parent distribution, the parent series, that's clear, is it?
Yes. One question I have is whether it would be a copy, a one-time copy, or a permanent import. Like, it would be, what happens if something new is uploaded? If it's a development series.
We'll come on to that actually.
I can actually say that it's always going to be copied because none of them are frozen. Like, I know there is a Lucid update and Lucid proposed, so I know that patches are going to be entering this all the time.
Right. Okay. Now, the architecture section I think is fairly straightforward, but one thing I did want to ask was how you would be most comfortable specifying which architectures you want to use. There are a couple of options that we have. One is to have a list with checkboxes, and the other is to have a search box that allows you to type in what you think is the name of the architecture, and then it will find it for you. Do you think that there would be too many architectures to have a drop down, to have a list of all possible options?
No.
With checkboxes?
I think the number of architectures is going to go lower. Like, we consider dropping HPP and Spark, so Ubuntu would only have four to offer to start with. We might be adding a fifth one, HF. What I think is worth me a bit here is I think it's not obvious that building i386, well, there's this need of building Arch all packages, and I'm not sure that it's clear that it's a good idea to build i386 and MD64 to most people. One side of it is the technical requirement, and another side of it is the development workflow. Like, in most cases, you want to be able to run the i386 and MD64 packages on your desktop to confirm their work, and then you generate images of the ARM packages for ARM derivatives. And I think this might let people turn on only ARM and actually realize that it won't work. So it might be that we can build architecture all packed on EL, or that we will always build them on i386 and have an ARM complement, but that's not clear in the that it's a technical requirement that the actual packages are built somewhere.
Right.
Sorry, I'm giving two feedbacks at once. One is the fact that you need an architecture all building, and probably keeping i386 for derivative archives is a good idea right now for technical reasons. And the second thing is it's a good idea from a workflow, development workflow perspective to keep building i386 and MD64 or something like that, because it gives you the possibility of testing binaries on your desktop and then building them for ARM. But that's more like a choice of the development workflow you'd be doing when you use the derivative archive.
Okay.
And I prefer checkboxes because I think there's like a little number of them.
Okay.
This is probably not part of that spec, but I expect you can create architectures outside of Ubuntu. Like, IHF will probably land in Ubuntu, but what happens if we have can actually copy from Debian, and if it has a different set of architectures, can I create another project which is like a new distribution, like I don't know, Linaro or whatever, and it's not actually copied from Ubuntu, but it produces HF architecture, and then it's available here as a derivative.
I will ask. I think the idea is that you'll be able to work with basically whichever architectures Linaro need at the time. So, I'll find out exactly how that will work though.
And I also expected that in the future there would be more than these choices. Like currently, we have a single army and archive for Ubuntu. And I expect that at some point we'll have multiple army and archives. But that's kind of another layer, which is I don't think it's implemented here, and it will happen later.
So, like V5, V6, V7 type things, or
Yeah, or V7 plus Neon or stuff like that. Yes.
right. Okay, cool.
Okay. Then there is a question of packet sets. So I'm not very familiar with packet sets. From a practical perspective, what I care about is that I'm able to copy over a seed, but eventually I'll change the definition of that seed. So what's a bit opaque to me here is how exactly do I can I create my packet sets? I guess there is a help. I see there is a help button, so probably you'll be able to read to instruction. And what's a bit opaque to me is how it's going to what happens if the packet set changes.
Right, well, okay, well, that is answered later on.
Okay.
So just one last question on this mock-up. The copy options, do they make sense to you?
Actually, I realized now that there is a copy of the packet set. Okay, that kind of makes sense.
No?
Right. So actually, that's a list of packet sets, and you can click on any of them, and it gets selected for copy. Would import make more sense? So the packet sets are not going to be kept in sync. Like, let's say it's a one-time copy, and I don't exactly know whether they will be kept in sync or not.
Right, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So import may be a better word to use.
Yeah.
Okay, great, thank you. So possibly then, so it, copy options below should possibly be import options as well. So do the two options there make sense to you? Copy source and rebuild, or copy source and binaries?
Yes, I do have one question in the form of there is a third mod which I proposed, but I don't know whether it's implemented as part of that or not.
Okay.
Ideally, we'd be able to have like always. So it's more like as it goes over time. So that's for the initial archive, that's good. But then, if I have copy over sources and binaries, and I know importing new source, I'm doing some changes in my archive, and of course the trigger builds. And now I'm importing packages from the parent archive because of the past and they did developments. Will they be rebuilt or will the binaries be copied? Like, in some cases we certainly want to build binaries, but in some others it might be a good optimization to not do so.
Right, okay, right.
Perhaps this for later.
I will ask what that may be a second round feature, or
I think it's
I'm not
hard.
sure.
Like, I think you need to track whether it's package chained or not. I mean, it's quite hard to do. But at the same time, it's a good optimization for build time.
Okay.
It makes less. You have less storage of packages, and you have less building time to spend building packages if you are able to do that.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like, I can copy all the Ubuntu development uploads, and it doesn't cost me anything as long as I don't have any change in my archive. That makes sense.
Yep. Okay. Thanks. Okay. So I think. Do you have any other comments on this particular mock-up before we move on?
And no, I think it's good. The version thing is a bit of find a bit daunting. Like, you have to choose a version. But yes, it makes sense. It's just not very
Okay.
natural.
The version text box.
Yeah.
I mean, you can type in whatever you wanted there. But so would you expect it
Sorry,
to
I didn't. You were cut.
Sorry?
You were cut. I hear you said something, but.
Oh, sorry. With the version text box, it What?
No, it's okay. I mean, I know what it relates to. It's just that I find it. It sounds like I don't know whether I'll be able to change it. Actually, one thing which would make it lighter is if I can change that at all.
If what, sorry, I
Like
lost you there.
it would be nice if I knew which of these things I can change later on.
Right, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay. So moving on to the next under the heading Mockup 2, it's just a very small box. It's a side box that would appear on the overview page for your derived distro series. And the intention of this box is to give you a summary of the changes between your derivative and the parent distro series. Do those make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, I'm just questioning one thing. You're going to hate me for that, but I think the main use case is this single parent distribution. But very often when I think about Ubuntu, I realize that Debian is not only upstream. Like we have tons of upstreams, and sometimes we even have like real distributions as upstreams. Like MIMO is like a real Debian-based distribution, and in a way, it's one of our upstreams.
It's a Linaro upstream.
No, it's also an Ubuntu upstream, and there's
Right.
Debian upstream, and there will be more and more derivatives, and we'll be pulling things from various places. But I don't, probably don't want to dive into that. I think it's a right thing to do right now to have a single parent. We can consider mechanisms to support packages from multiple places in the future. But
Okay.
you need a base distro anyway, so yeah, sorry. It
Okay.
was just my mind using into that direction, sorry.
Okay.
Okay, mock up 3, numbers.
Okay, so Mockup 3 would be what you would get if you clicked on 8 packages with differences in Mockup 2. Just to start with, does the description of this page make sense? Does it tell you what this page is about?
Yes, I'm happy with it.
Sorry. Okay. Great. So, looking at the link, there are currently 5 updated Lucid packages that have been ignored. Do you understand what that means?
I suspect they have not been imported, but I don't really like the name ignored. Like it sounds negative. Like I didn't do something.
Okay.
Like I would say there are 5 updated Lucid packages which should be imported or have to be imported or have to be reviewed. That's the way I would understand the thing. But perhaps it means that there are 5 Lucid packages which I'm blacklisting for copy. I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
I guess if it's a blacklist, I already saw the place where I define the blacklist, and I have already blacklisted them, so I would know that it refers to the same list. But if I see mockup 3 for the first time, I would guess that it's a list of packages which should be reviewed for copying over.
Okay. Beneath that is a table showing you some of the packages that have differences between your derivative and the parent. Do each of the columns there make sense to you?
Why isn't the package name in a separate column? To save space, or
Sorry, what? Why what?
the package name is in the same column as the Lucid version.
I'm sorry, I don't understand. It
On the left
says,
column, you have a listed package column, which is the name of the
yes.
package, the version of the package, and then you have only the version for the listed.
Ah, yeah,
From a
probably just
data
to.
perspective, it makes sense to have a separate column, but from a space, a UI perspective, it might save space to combine them like that.
Okay, all right, thanks.
That is really minor.
Okay. But is everything.
We have to review this by hand, like they're not computed all the time.
What in that you would get a notification if a difference arose?
No, the column default listed
Ah,
derivative
no,
version,
that.
there is a request, and I send it with that we have to request the diff.
Yeah, you have to manually request a diff. If there's already one, then you just click on view. But if there isn't one, then you have to request it, and then it'll be generated,
Okay.
hopefully quickly.
Okay. No, it just surprised me because we generate a diff between all Ubuntu uploads. So I guess you could also do that between derivative uploads, derivatives uploads. But okay, I guess it kind of makes sense to avoid changing it all the time if it's actually not. The sync column should be, I think. Okay, ignore all sync. Okay. So basically, I guess ignore the ones I'm not being too sure in my list of packages to review in the future. I basically there are fork patches which I won't care about. Why don't I? Why not call them like a blacklist? So I guess ignore is kind of same thing. Okay, no, it's okay. I don't really like the selection and then sync and ignore at the bottom. I
No,
cannot come
why?
up with something better. I feel like it's I don't know. I don't like it, but I cannot say why. I think it's Yeah, I think I would probably it would be fine if I was the one checking these options, but because I feel like I'm seeing a mockup with already selected and it can do I can't when I'm reading this mockup I'm trying to understand what is about to be done and it could be very different things. Like on one side it's I would override my versions with the versions from listed and on the other side it would be I would keep my versions. And because these are very different actions, I feel uncomfortable reviewing the decision that someone else made to do these selections. If I was the one driving this page, I would of course be happy to click and request a sync.
Right, okay.
Another way would be to have a drop down on each line, but I think it would be too heavy. Like it would be harder to use than doing it twice. Probably what will happen is that some of these packages are going to be synced, some of them are going to be ignored, and some of them are going to be reviewed. But the ignore is very rare.
Right. Okay.
Does it actually make sense to have ignore on this page? Should ignore just be I don't know. I feel ignore is like a rare action you should only take in rare cases. And it should be kept a bit more away, but I'm not sure it makes sense.
Okay.
Basically you can keep this list of packages going on, and you can always review this list. As I said, like you can always review the list of differences, and it's not, it won't go away. And you can just ignore the packages which you would like to ignore instead of putting them on the ignore list. And so, ignore to me sounds like I will ignore this forever kind of action, which is more seldom. But okay, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with the UI.
Okay, the column last column sorry last common version in Derelucid, so it's the second from the right column. Is that actually needed?
It's useful when you're doing a merge, but I don't think a link is actually useful. Like just knowing the version somewhere is useful, and probably it's visible in the diff because you'll probably sit in the changelog. But I don't really see how the diff is going to be proposed. Like is it literally a depth diff It's literally a link to the patch from Librarian, or is it more like a nice view of the diff? Like,
I
is there a
think
web UI for the diff, basically? If there is, then I think it would make sense to have this information on the web UI for the diff. Otherwise, having it somewhere is indeed useful.
okay. All right then.
One thing which I think is missing here is the some kind of date stamp, like to filter the new stuff, like new things to review. How long has this been pending? I don't know, last update on that? Does that make sense? Like, if I have comments for all these things, I'm tempted to be able to solve them so that I can, like, this is 56 results, and I know that page views are really painful enough, but like, I don't want to have to click next to go over the whole list. I want to make sure I can extract the top ones I should be looking at. Perhaps I should be assigning people to a merge, like perhaps I should be able to have a bug linked to the merge, or a person assigned to the merge, and perhaps I should be able to filter by date the latest things we change, like this packet was imported recently, or this comment was made recently, so it should be at the top or at the bottom, or something like that.
Okay, thanks. Should we move on to mockup 4?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you could just read the headline and tell me if or the title of the page and tell me if that makes sense.
Yes, that makes sense.
Okay, and is that page sorry, carry on.
No, that's fine. I was oh yes, packages is only one. Packages only one package is only in one package set, right?
Sorry, I missed you there.
One package is only in one package set. It cannot be multiple package sets at once, can it?
I believe so, yeah.
What which package set is in I guess these are the really seed package sets and then the copied over ones. I guess this makes sense.
Does the line, there are currently six new Lucid packages that have been ignored. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I can't help but think of a blacklist, and I don't like this name ignored, but yeah, it makes sense. I think it's probably much easier to decide whether to copy of a package or not than this dead diff thing. Like, the dead diff really very often requires a human to resolve the merge, while the new package is probably much easier. So the UI is much lighter here, and probably it's just fine to have it like that. Perhaps it makes sense that the UIs be almost the same, and also have the possibility of sorting and packages and stuff, but I actually think that even a comment is very unlikely to be used. I suspect when you see this list of new packages, you can decide immediately whether what you do for each of them. I mean, either ignore or copy. The comment seems almost superfluous, but it's consistent with the other mockup, so it's fine.
Okay. So any other comments on that page?
The date stamp would be useful, like just knowing when it showed
Yeah.
up. Perhaps making it clear that they are source packages. I think
Right.
it's helpful for. Actually, it's very often mentioned package, and I think it's obvious to me that this is all interacting at the source package level, at least to me. But the binary packages might have an impact, like. Sometimes you'll copy up a new source package and you think it's harmless, but actually there's a transition going on, and I think it's quite important to know that you're copying over some binary packages. So at the very least, I think it should be clear that we're speaking of source packages somewhere. It might make sense to include information such as what is the list of binary packages which would be copied over if the binaries are copied over.
Okay. Mockup 5 then. Again, is it clear what this page is about? And
So in this case, you choose to include a description, but not in any other case. And the description is always attached to the package.
right.
So I find that weird. I find that a bit inconsistent. But the it's helpful to have a description. And there is not much here, much more to say here.
Okay.
Yes, it's a simple. The last one is really simple, and it's a nice report.
Okay. So I that brings us to the end of the mock-ups. Do you have any other comments in general?
I don't know whether the people doing merges are recorded. Like, I think it's actually helpful to track who's going to do merges. Like people with packages, linking people to packages. Both in the case of new packages on the derivative side, that this person uploaded it. Like, if I uploaded bar and Alexander uploaded that, then I'd like to be able to know who it was so that I could poke Alexander about it. And for the merges, I think it would be helpful to know who did the last merge. Right. Just this last common version in the listed. I don't know how we could relate to the person who did the last merge, but it probably the person or the last upload in the listed. It's probably the person I'd like to poke to do the merge. Like on merges.ubuntu.com, basically, where you see the last uploader and the maintainer field. That's
Right.
useful to me. Like the reason I perhaps another way to look at that is it might be useful to have a report per person on the things they should be working on. On merges.ubuntu.com, I go to that webpage and I search for my name. So it's not a report for me, but I would like if there was one. So instead, what I do is that I load the whole page. I actually have to go like to four different pages, and then I control F in the webpage to find all the packages which have my name on them, so to make sure I address my own merges.
Okay.
It's like your pending merge request that you have to process. I think it would be helpful to be able to narrow down who's supposed to work on something and have it show up on his to-do list.
Right.
But
Okay then.
for first iteration, I think it's great. I'm really happy with the simplicity and things this means. I didn't see a way to. I mean, there is no explanation on what will be copied over in the future.
Sorry, I don't understand.
My very first comment was what happens once I've done the copy, what will happen about new uploads? So it's
Oh
all
yes, yeah.
it's only the sources, not the never binaries. As soon as you create a derivative, we only copy sources on.
Well, you have the option of when you first create it, copying source and rebuilding, or copying source and the binaries that exist. After that, I think if you were to sync packages from the parent to the derivative, it would only synchronize the source packages and then rebuild them. But that's something that I can put to the Soyuz guys, or you can ask directly yourself if you would prefer to.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
I think it's more like a second thing. It's an optimization, but I think it's the advantage is that it would be really cheap to have derivative distribution, and so doing it from the start is of course a great advantage. You cannot really retrofit it, into an existing derivative once you've created the derivative, which is why I wanted to bring that up. But
Okay. All right. Well,
I had it in the archive discussions, but I think it's a complex thing, and it's more like an intermediate optimization, and it's not easy. By the way, this whole mock-up process is really nice. Like, it's probably very time-consuming as well, but it's very
Well,
nice.
great. I'm glad you like it. The it does take up a little bit of time, but it's the design work is work that would have to be done anyway. And it's working much better than what we used to do, which was just to maybe create an HTML mock-up or something and then discuss the design for 2 weeks on our own internal list without showing it to any people who might use it. So yeah, we're getting very good feedback by doing it this way. We get already we're coming across features, sorry, problems that we would have shipped the feature with without realizing that it was a problem. So it's working well so far. And thank you very much for taking part. It's really, really helpful.
Are we good? Do you want to is there another set of mock-ups or?
No, that's great. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay. I
Okay.
also wanted to tell you that you're doing a working job at communicating on new Launchpad features. I really like your Launchpad
Oh, thanks. Thank you very much. Cheers. If there's anything I can do differently, let me know.
Okay, well, I'll go finish lunch and have a good end of day.
And you, thank you very much.
Cheers.
Bye.